I got into the car with a drunk driver. I don't really remember much, but I do remember waking up with the car on its side and just hurting. I ended up talking to my mom and she told me to call the advocates. Even though it was complicated and I felt guilty, there was zero judgment from them. I felt like they were always on my side and they were always doing what was best for me.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. If guilt is keeping you from getting help, just call us. We'll represent you and remind you that you deserve justice.
Welcome back to our podcast called Difficult Dish, a podcast about different South Asian narratives. I am your co-host, Mahua Khan, and this is my co-host.
I'm the co-host. My name is Mashna.
Mashna what?
Manur.
Don't say your last name is Manur.
Manur, a small alter ego. My I have a regular at my coffee shop. He calls me Michael. Every day he calls me something different. He calls me Michael. He calls me Nacho. The other day he called me Macho. He called me Mashu.
Didn't he call you like Dwayne once?
What?
I thought he called you Dwayne once.
No, he's called me Michael though.
All right. Anyway, we're a podcast about different South Asian narratives. Welcome back, or welcome if this is your first time here. Before we get started, make sure to like and subscribe if you're watching the YouTube video. Helps a lot. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple, make sure to rate and review. Again, helps us a lot as a little, small little, you know, podcaster. But today, what are we talking about?
I don't know. How are you?
Oh.
You're good? No, today we're talking about when brown traditions become toxic.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
This one came to you out of nowhere, right? A little inspo?
No, honestly, it's plagiarized.
It's plagiarized.
Someone recommended it.
Oh.
Because I put on the story. I was like, yo, send in some episode topics. And I took it straight from there. Word for word. Word for word.
See, this is how you know that we take feedback from you guys very literally. Because we asked you, what do you want to listen to? What do you want to see? And now here's an episode. So make sure to follow us on the Instagram.
Yeah, I'll shout her out. But you want to talk about like the topic a little bit?
Right, right. So today we are going to talk about various things, and you guys sent in so many responses on our Instagram different toxic things in our culture.
Fatima Sharik, shout out to you.
Thank
good
you
idea.
So much for that recommendation. But we're going to talk about toxic things that make up our culture. And again, we don't want to generalize because we know that there are amazing families out there, amazing people out there that don't believe in these things and are breaking the cycle. But maybe we're going to talk about like the more traditional mindsets that are still prevalent in our culture now. Again, we're not saying that our whole culture is toxic. We're not saying that every single family goes through this, but we're kind of talking about like the overarching themes of like the traditional mindsets, you know? So it talks about like people pleasing, marriage, maybe your skin color, maybe you know, weight and food, just different realms in our culture that maybe we should leave behind, you know?
Yeah, y'all went crazy. Y'all sent in like 14,000 responses. Yeah. There are so many.
Yeah.
So like this episode, like we'll name a couple, but I think the most of the episode is just going to be, you know, name dropping some of the stuff that y'all said.
Name dropping?
I can't think of a better word. It's talking about some of the stuff that y'all talked about because, you know, y'all got it. But
yeah, make sure to listen to the end of the episode for emoji of the week. Yeah, only the real ones know.
And maybe a hint for like our next week's guest episode too.
Oh,
we already got a record. You know, it's already done. It's a great episode. I think it was a great time. We'll give you a little hint who it is. It's our first podcast experience, and that'll be a good episode. But yeah, it's at the
it's
end.
Our first
so stick
what?
Tuned. Podcast appearance.
Oh, appearance.
What did you think I said?
Experience.
Same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
How are you? We know what's been going on.
What's been going on?
BD. Yeah, we woke up to some great news today.
Go ahead, talk about it.
No, you can talk about it.
I walked in the door and I said, "Joy Bangla."
Joy Bangla today, because at the time of recording, the Prime Minister of Bangladesh has stepped down from power.
Wow.
And there are amazing things to celebrate here, because that means the student protests have won. The people who were, you know, brutally killed, they didn't die in vain. There
it's
was
a historic
actually some
day.
Huh?
No, sorry.
Go it's ahead. A historic day. Yeah, yeah, it's like a second Independence Day basically. They didn't die in vain, right? So it's an amazing day, but now we're really thinking about who's gonna be in power. Is this gonna bring more corruption to Bangladesh? Is this gonna lead to some other problems? But hopefully this is the beginning of like more great news. Yeah. You know?
Still early to say, you know. Yeah. Obviously.
It literally did happen a couple hours ago.
That lady is out of here. You mm-hmm. know, she had to, she dipped.
She fled.
She dipped. What a time to be alive. So, you know, that is great news because, yeah. you know, it was a dictatorship, a tyrant, mm-hmm. if you would.
15 years of her 15 years, being crazy. In power.
Anything and else? You know, unfortunately a lot of lives were lost yeah. and a lot of lives were martyred, but you know, like you said, in good vein, and we are hoping the very best of the future of Bangladesh, and we are staying, you know, we are keeping our eyes open to everything that's going on, and yeah, obviously it's like too early to say what is going to happen, but you know, our hearts are with the people that are in Bangladesh. We are Bangladeshi American. We have a sliver of understanding of what is going on that side of the world, regardless mm-hmm. of, you know, we have people out there that we're talking to, but it still does not compare to being out there. So mm-hmm. if someone listening or watching is in Bangladesh, our hearts and our thoughts are with yeah. you. Yeah.
That was a good one.
Thanks.
That was a
good buddy, one. Buddy, why's your eyes so red?
I don't know, sorry guys.
Sorry to call you out. She's been having, I think it's because like her eyelashes have been looking like very, very beautiful recently. So so they're like, they're kind of like, you know,
they're overpowering the eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, I've been using eyelash serum for a couple months, which has been working, but maybe now it's doing the opposite. So my eyes have been extremely red.
Don't look.
To the point where nothing is working. Eye drops aren't working. Me stopping the use of that isn't working. So I got some glasses on. I was thinking about wearing some sunglasses for the video. But you know what? This is the real me. Accept it or not, this is the real me.
I do.
All right.
I do.
All right. You want to get started?
You want me to start?
Yeah, go ahead.
You want you to start?
Go ahead.
You want me to start?
You can go.
Because I could start.
What's one toxic thing you got to unlearn?
I got three.
Oi. All right, go ahead. So you can go first.
We'll start off a little obvious, like a little, you know, surface level. Start off a little surface okay. level. Finishing the whole plate. Ooh. Finishing the whole plate. I've talked about it. We've talked about it. I just, you know.
What do you mean by that?
It's just
why
like,
is that a problem?
It's a problem because it teaches us bad things.
Like what?
Because we, growing up, have been forced to eat everything.
Hey, emphasis on everything.
Even if we are full, we continue to eat, and that is not good. There are
it's
a so lot
wild.
Of,
oh, sorry, no, continue.
There are a lot of, you know, health risks that can come with that. There are a lot of mental risks that can come with that. Your relationship with food can become very toxic. You know, your eating patterns can be very toxic. You can convince yourself that you need more of something than you actually do. Your relationship with your parents can become toxic because they're getting mad at you, then that you're not eating them. You don't want to eat them because you know, you see that
it's like a cycle.
You're looking in the mirror, you're seeing yourself get a little heavier, you're like, I don't want to do all that, and then you talk to,
and then you get body shamed.
It's a whole thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but nonetheless, food is good. Food tastes good.
Food is also a love language.
Our parents' food tastes great, you know, so it can be difficult to tell them, no, I don't want no more. One, because you don't want to make them sad. Two, because it's yummy. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to, you know, you want to keep it. But anyways, you know, I know all y'all relate to that. That's something that I have been unlearning in the last like year of my life, because this is something that I was kind of conscious of, but not really, like my whole life, just like my relationship with eating. But if you listen to my solo episode where I talked about my relationship with eating,
you've been doing great.
Thank you. I've just been more conscious about you know, my habits with eating, my relationship with food, and having a stronger connection to it. It does not mean cutting out everything. It does not mean having the most restrictive diet in the world. It can be whatever it is, whatever you want it to be. Just first, it starts with being more conscious about what your relationship with food is, and that can help heal so many aspects of your life.
But you know what? On top of that, it's so ingrained in us to also respect our elders and not talk back. And if we stand up for ourselves, it's kind of seen as disrespectful sometimes. So if we do get all this food, we're kind of told to just take it and eat it and not like stand up for ourselves because, you know, at the end of the day, they put in hard work to make this food for us. It's like a love language. But also, if you're so full beyond the capacity where you can't eat anymore and you're being forced to eat more and more and you can't speak up for yourself, it like it's just also intertwined with one another, you know, like we can't speak up against that. And then we're kind of getting guilt tripped into eating because like, oh, they spent so much time and effort into making this for us. Or, you know, think about the people starving. That's why you should finish
it. Oh, that's the one.
Like, I've always been told that. Or like, you know, your dad worked so hard to put this food on the table and spent all his hard-earned money to bring this food for you. Why are you not finishing your plate, right? But it like, it forces you to overconsume and also kind of teaches you scarcity mindset. Like, oh my God, I have to finish all of this food because there are other people around the world, which is a good thing, right? Like, it's good to be empathetic. There are other people around the world who don't have the food. Or second, I might never get a plate of food again, you know? So the same thing as you, I'm trying to teach myself that it's okay to not finish my plate sometimes because I'm grateful for the food that I had and I'm full, you know? And I can either put that food away for the next day or the next meal, or it's okay if I waste a grain of rice, you know?
Something that we heard a lot. Yeah. You're a growing boy. I've heard that my whole life. I'm be 46. You're a growing boy. Where am I still growing?
You're a 56-year-old boy. You're still here. Like,
but yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, it's the most obvious one.
No, it's not obvious.
It's somewhere to start.
I don't think it's all the things that we're going to say. It seems obvious to us because we've done like actual self-reflection to kind of unlearn it and think about it. But I think since it's so ingrained in us and in our culture, it might just seem normal to people.
Yeah.
You know? So maybe it's just, it's not obvious.
That's true. You know? I had this one, I'm not going to name drop, but there's this auntie.
You never have to name drop. Like, I don't know why you, like.
No, I have to, I tell that to myself because I naturally always do. I'm just right. Like, yeah, my auntie is from this, whatever. Right. She was one of those aunties that, like, you would tell her that, like, you're full and she would just, like, laugh it off. Like no listening, like, just complete disregard of what you're saying, laugh it off and just, like, keep serving you. Like, ah. Yeah. Anyways,
do you feel like my mom has gotten better with like
yeah absolutely,
that's good.
I think like the first time I met her she didn't give a shit because it's like my first time meeting her. Yeah. You know, she didn't care, but at this point you know, she understands.
Yeah, even the other day she asked me if I gave you the mangshu that she, like, the chicken that she made or the beef that she made, and she made like kashi, right, from Eid, and like the shag and stuff that she made for you. And I was like, oh no, he's on a keto diet, so he's not gonna be eating like too much of like oily stuff right now. And she was like, oh, okay. She was like, oh, he's dieting. I'm like, okay.
The key.
So that? At least she's more accepting of it, you know.
Shout out auntie.
Yeah,
go ahead.
But my next one also might be obvious to the naked eye, but I think it's good to have this conversation, especially in this generation. It's important to unlearn the fact that a woman's value has no relation to marriage, right? Especially, it's so crazy because, you know, I have close friends now that are hitting the age, I'm putting, you know, quotation marks, air quotes, hitting the age of marriage, right? They're entering their late 20s or early 30s, and they feel like they have to, like, speed up their timeline of like going to school or like finding the career of their choice or whatever it is, because they know that their parents are pressuring them like extra hard to get married, and they're like, okay, let me just finish my master's really quick because I know I'm gonna have to get married next year, you know? And it's just so wild that like you're taught your whole life that your whole existence is just for a man, you know? Like, oh, you know, get prettier for this man in the future, make sure you dress nicely for this husband that you're gonna have in the future. And like, I feel like a lot of South Asian parents, or many South Asian parents, have this idea that their daughter's only value is when they're married, or like they're only valuable when they are married, and that they have to have kids as soon as possible and have like settle down as soon as possible because it looks bad if you don't, and if you're too independent you're just seen as like scandalous in society.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's always like, it's like, and when you meet someone like a auntie or whatever, it's like the first thing that like they'll ask you is like, it's like they'll ask you like your age, or like before your age or anything, they'll be like, oh, like married, kids, anything. And then and then if you say no, it's just humiliation as to why not.
Yeah.
And it's like they don't care about anything else. Like, I think one of the responses was like, women are told to get an education for, and then they get married and their education, like their husband doesn't even care about like what their degree is in.
Yeah.
But like women are you know, like ridiculed into getting like a college degree, and mm-hmm. if not, they're worthless. But then they get into a marriage, and like there's no point in them even the husband looks at it.
And like I think on top of that, like there's so much pressure on a woman getting married, where when they are planning their wedding and their, you know, their Islamic ceremonies or their mehendis or gaihus and things like that, it's such an exciting time. But it's kind of like put on the woman to like plan all these things, and mm-hmm. no one really cares about how much stress that is, how much money that is, like how much of a time commitment that is. And then like when you do have those events, you kind of have to like upshow everyone and like make it the best so that it seems like grand in people's eyes. Like there's so much emphasis on just like marriage and like weddings and like a family, where it feels like everything before that, things that you do for yourself, like your education or the job that you have or like how much you contribute to society, whatever it is, it doesn't really matter as much, you know? And it's like so sucky because it's like, can you imagine living 25 or 30, whatever, how many years, and then finally you get married and then that one instance is like the thing that defines your whole life.
Yeah. And it's, you know? Like if it isn't like perfection,
right?
And like if the experience isn't like catered to the guest, it's like it's not memorable at all.
Right.
It's like people will put so much emphasis on like their wedding and their reception, and like they'll do everything they can to make it the greatest experience for the guests, just so like the guests can remember right. the wedding. And like it's like the bride and the groom, like especially the bride, it's like they don't even have the bandwidth to like for it to be memorable for them, because the whole time they're just stressing about like, is their mom mad at them? Is yeah. their fucking
do I whatever. Look too happy for my wedding?
Yeah.
Like not allowed to smile at all. Like be a little, yeah, you know, modest, not a modest one. Bride. But it's like one. Wild because I'm about to hit 26 soon, and hey, both damn, of us about to hit 26 soon. You know,
getting up there, no?
Still mid-20s. No, we're not in late 20s yet. Come on. Don't make that face, buddy. You're 2 weeks behind me. Anyway, I haven't really been told my whole life, like, oh my God, you have to get married, you know, this and that. Like, my family really emphasized education for me instead of marriage. But now that I'm getting older,
yeah,
the conversation
27?
The conversation is definitely there. It's coming up, and it's more like emphasized and serious. And it's just so wild because I feel like I'm revolving so many of my life, personal life decisions around like the potential of marriage.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah. it's like some. I don't feel like you have to do that. Like a man doesn't really have to think about that.
No.
Nice.
Not at all. No.
Do you feel like family members try to get the man married so that he focuses more on life, like to be serious in life?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Like, what do you think is a mindset behind that? Because for us, for women, it's like, oh, get married because you need a man to protect you, and like your whole value is like related to a man. But what is the perspective of like a man getting married?
You know, I think it really just depends on the family. Like we know families that like, I think the right way is like wait for, you know, the son and the daughter to be in a relatively good position themselves, or either have like be in a good position or have a clear path towards being in a good position, like already established, whether they're like in med school, they're in their last second year, they're in their clinicals or whatever, like, and sure they're not in a perfect position to get married because they're not fully doctors yet, but like yeah, like they still can, like there's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with that. And then there are the families that are like quick to get them married ASAP because like, and I think my family is kind of like in the middle where they're like, yeah, like getting married is like the point of life, like getting married and having kids is the point of living life, like so it's like, yeah, don't wait on it because like your life actually starts like after you get married. And it's like my mom was always like, yeah, like just make sure like you're in a good position first, like you don't have to have like $1 million, be 35 years old and get married, but like, you know, don't get married if you're a bum either. Which I think is the right way to think about it. But I know so many families that were like leaning towards getting married on earlier, in like earlier 20s, 25, whatever, because it's like, yeah, everyone just thought that like that's the point of existing. Like in our culture, it's like you can't do anything, like nothing is fun about life until you're married. Like that is when you can like, you like people will finally accept the fact that you can do this and do that, and you know, having kids, and then you know, like having kids I think are so important because like it helps bring like a distant family together as well, because like, you know, if like my cousin has a kid, I probably don't see my cousin soon, like, too much now, but like if they have a kid, like, now I got a reason to, you know, and you then know, it kind of brings the family together.
You know what my thing is? You want to hear like a woman's perspective on why some families try to force their sons to get married quicker. Some are bum ass sons, right?
Okay.
And they try to get their bum ass sons to marry like good, innocent type of girls because they think that the woman is gonna like make them into like a more like responsible human being.
Yeah, my fault.
Shut up. And then that once she has kids with him, that's gonna make him officially like settle down and like be serious about life.
Yeah, you're right.
But that's so shitty for the woman, right? Because it's like there are so many girls that fall into that marriage because they have like high hopes for this marriage. But really, it's the bum ass guy, right? And they're just like entrapped in it.
You're not wrong.
And it's just, again, it's just so wild because like this girl has to like put her whole life away to marry this guy, hoping that she's going to have more freedom or, you know, more like a livelihood. But then she's expected to sacrifice everything for this guy who sometimes will not give that respect to her.
Yeah.
It's so wild.
I'm not disagreeing.
It's so wild how like
you are correct.
Like literally the worst son, the family's like, oh, let's get him married, and then
I don't think this is a common
situation. No, I don't think it's common, but
of course it happens.
I'm saying I've seen things like that where it's like, oh, you know.
Oh, okay.
You know. Yeah, you know.
Okay, my fault.
All right, next. I know.
My turn.
Yeah.
All right. I got a good one.
Yeah. Talk to me.
And I think you'll like this one.
Yeah. I'm listening.
Apologizing through acts of service instead of communication. So our parents don't really know how to.
But you kind of do that.
Uh-huh.
You kind of do that sometimes.
What do you mean?
Like, oh, like, I made her sad. Let me just go get her poppy.
No, but instead of communicating, like no communication. Okay. Right. And like, yeah, this is fine a couple times, but we're talking about when like it becomes ongoing. Toxic.
Yeah.
You know, when it becomes toxic, when you keep disregarding the communication, and when you convince yourself that just you doing acts of service or you doing anything other than communication is getting rid of the problem. That's where it gets toxic.
Like the plate of fruits.
Y'all know the plate of fruits.
My dad, when we would get him like angry or have a fight,
yeah,
he would just make me like a turkey sandwich or something
like that. Which is fine. It's right, but it's like we're talking about when like too much of it, like
too much.
When you disregard the actual
where there's
problem.
Like no accountability at all.
Exactly.
Yeah. You can relate? Like, why'd you say it?
No, yeah, I mean, I said it because I can relate. Why else?
What kind of gifts did you get?
I got the fruit a lot.
Yeah,
I got
the homegrown fruits.
Yeah, just like a new t-shirt. I got, you know, little shorts.
Oh, every now and then that made you happy.
Yeah, again, which is fine. And like you as a kid, it makes you're like, oh yeah, like yeah my it's fine,
right?
Like, you know, them doing this, it's like it's wiring you when you're a kid to think that like these problems are over with because like you accept that as their form of apology,
right?
When it's like there is no acceptance of apology, like actually talking it through.
Yeah,
like nothing can relate to that. Like, yeah, you could do other things, but it's like it's just extending the timeline of like the conversation that needs to happen.
My family and I were on an outing. We stopped at a stoplight on a highway, and all of a sudden I see in my rearview mirror that there is a truck coming straight for us, rammed right into the back of us. It ended up being a 4-car pileup. Luckily, we had a luggage rack on the back that took most of the blow, but we still sustained some injuries that needed significant medical care. I felt confident, feeling I can handle all the calls. I know the story. I know how to talk to the insurance agents and file the reports, and I know how to negotiate. I totally thought that I had this. It added up to be too much, and I just wish that I had called the advocates way sooner. I finally called the advocates, and they took it from there. They know the drill. They know how to do this. They ended up getting a settlement for me that was twice the amount that I thought that I could get on my own.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. When your family's hurting, you shouldn't have to fight the insurance companies. Let the advocates carry that burden for you. Give us a call.
You know, so I had a lot of that, and then that kind of, you know, boils up into tougher conversations that you need to have when it's you know, things have reached a boiling point, and it's like there's no active service that can take over like a serious problem that, or a serious disagreement between you and like your partner, or like you or your parent or whatever it is. So yeah, man, I mean, like, without to get into details, like, that, I think that's just like, I dealt with that a lot.
Do you feel like you ever implemented that in your life because you experienced it?
Absolutely.
Like, you would give gifts instead of communicating?
I think yes and no. I think yes, I did that, but I think no, because I think when you grow up with parents that say like they suck at doing something, you as a kid can either grow up also sucking at it or realizing that they suck at it and become good at it. Mm. You know, and I'm not saying that you have to be one or the other. I'm sure there are things with your parents that, like, yeah, unfortunate traits you've inherited, and then traits that you've seen that you're like, yeah, I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah,
I think this is the reality of growing up as a kid with, mm-hmm, you know, immigrant parents,
right?
And I think that was one. You know, my mother sucked at communicating, and from a lot of my life I would also suck at communicating, but I would also, you know, at times it was really 50-50 for me. I think, like, mm-hmm, I think with us, like, yeah, there'd be some things that, like, probably won't talk about, but there are other things that, like, I am first to talk about, or I am first to, like, want to communicate more on. Like, yeah, it depends on, like, you know, what the topic is, whatever. So I think,
that's right.
But yeah, I think that is, like, the reality of just, like, growing up, the first generation is, like, you know, you recognize where your parents' like faults are. And some are just easier to, you know, be better at than others, you know.
We kind of talked about this in one of our recent episodes where we talked about, like, self-reflection, right? And, you know, we're talking about how our parents might have had these faults and might have not communicated or done something in an unfortunate way. And we could have also adopted that, right? And we did. But it's also important to, like, recognize that what we adopted doesn't have to be the norm and doesn't have to be, like, constant in your generation and in the next ones. And, like, it's up to you to unlearn it, right?
Yeah.
Because I saw this one thing, and it was, like, when you are the first person in your generation or in your family to start healing, you're not only healing yourself, but you're also healing, like, the next few generations after you.
Right.
Because if you're taking that uncomfortable and hard step towards that goal of, like, unlearning all of these, like, hard things, right? And, like, making those moves and, like, crying through it or being vulnerable through it, it's hard, but it's so worth it to the point where you're fixing so many problems in the present and in the future, right? Yeah, you like that one? So, yeah, if you guys haven't listened to our self-reflection episode, make sure to listen to that, because it's very important to, you know, have these conversations about, like, unlearning these toxic mindsets. But then the other part of it is actually doing the work and putting in that effort to unlearn it and not be like the last generation, you know? Type shit, you know? You like that one?
I hear you.
You like that one?
I hear you.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
You got another one?
Yeah. So on the same vein of putting your worth with marriage.
Oh.
Right? Something we got to unlearn is the fairness.
Fairness.
Like lightness of your skin.
Wow.
Yeah, because wow. Guess what,
we're going there.
Marriage is a big thing that is associated to your worth as a woman, but also your beauty, you know, whether it be how long your hair is, whether it be how skinny you are, whether it be how light you are. And it's so unfortunate that, like, even now I still get comments on, like, don't go outside in the sun and get dark, or if you meet this family member, make sure to put on powder so you can look lighter.
Powder.
Do we know what powder does? Because powder does not make your skin look lighter. Because if you do that, it looks very noticeable and bad. Okay? Can you imagine my neck being full brown and then my face being white? The meaning of powder means to, like, have something that matches your skin, where you just, like, pat down the oiliness and, like, make it, you know, matte or, like, the same skin tone. Powder doesn't work, okay?
Mm-mm.
But also, second, I'm not wearing powder to look lighter.
Pretty. I'm good.
Right?
I'm good. Take me as I am.
And it's also crazy because last year or a couple of months ago, I went to a store in Jackson Heights, like a grocery market. They were still selling Fair and Lovely on the stands. But now it's called Glow and Lovely.
They got a rebrand.
They got a rebrand. And it's just wild because, like, something similar that you mentioned, I forgot in what episode, but maybe in, like, the food episode or something like that. You were saying that when our family members tell us to eat or do something, it's not with, like, health in mind. It's not like, oh, do this, you'll be healthy. It's more like, oh, do this and whatever, right? So when we put on, like, makeup or when we do a skincare mask or something like that, right? It's not like, oh, do this so you can feel better about yourself or, like, feel like you have nourished skin or whatever it is, right?
Do it so you look better for the people that I care about.
Right. Do it so you look better. Do it so you look lighter. Do it so you look, like, presentable.
Right.
You know? And it's just never, or not never, it's just rarely ever, like, a mental or a good type of reasoning behind it. Like, it doesn't feel like you're doing these things for yourself. It feels like you're doing it to look beautiful for other people.
You know what the word is?
What's the word?
S word.
What is
special S word?
What is it? Tell me. No, tell me. Can you just say it?
Society. Shout out society. Whatever that is, y'all.
Right.
Your mom taught us. My mom used the word society so much. I'm like, who are you talking about?
Who's society?
Which society?
Wow, you just spit it out. So passionate.
I'm passionate about this word, bro. What does that mean? What society?
They learned one word and they're so excited to say it. My mom loves the word sarcasm. You like that one?
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Good one.
I'm just sick and tired of, like, doing things for the need of other people.
Okay.
Like, I just want to wear a shirt and just look for myself.
I hear you.
Look nice, you know?
I hear you.
I just want to go to the beach and just tan with protection with my SPF.
I hear you.
And not think about, like, oh my God, if I get dark, who's going to marry me?
I hear you.
Would you still marry me if I was dark?
I remember I was meeting my aunt's cousin's friend or something, right, who, like, was in the army or something when I was in Bangladesh.
Right.
And I was stepping out in just, like, a t-shirt and jeans.
Right.
And then my mom was like, no, change your shirt.
In Bangladesh.
She was like, change your shirt. I was like, for what? She was like, nah, he's in the army. Who is this guy, bro?
But what shirt is acceptable for an army guy?
I put on, like, a polo. She wanted me to change my t-shirt. I was like, yo, he know who I am? This is difficult dish. He should dress good for me anyway.
The host of difficult dish versus army guy who's fighting for the country.
I got one.
Oh, okay.
I got one. Oh, did you want to keep going?
No, I thought we were doing responses now.
I just wanted to say this one.
Okay.
This is also kind of a response because someone said a similar thing. But okay. I didn't get it from them. I thought about it
myself.
Okay. One-upping achievements.
Oof.
What you know about that?
Let's talk about that
What you know about that?
Why'd you like that
Here's the thing. My sister, scholar.
Right.
Great at academics.
Academically. She's great.
Academically fantastic, successful.
Right.
Me? I work hard for this B.
Right.
I work hard for this C.
Yeah.
But, you know, my sister really had to set the standard up real high, didn't she?
Yeah.
Because now I'm working my ass off to get this B. And, you know, I look like a patch of dirt. I look like a little infant getting these disgusting grades.
Right.
Well, my sister just so easily gets this,
like, her big award plaque is so big compared to your small little
piano recital one. And that's one example. And it's like, you know, whether it's like actual cousins or it's like someone like your mom's third cousin's wife's brother,
right,
like graduated from a nice school and now you have to graduate from the same school or you have to
or better
do something more honorable. It's like, you know, it's great for your mother or father to, you know, push you to do something great in life. But the reasoning, the intent to why they want you to do these specific things. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I was put in piano classes early on in my life for good reason, which is just my parents wanted me to know how to play an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Good reason.
Right.
It's not because my mom's someone also plays piano and I have to be better than him. Bad reason.
Right.
And I think a lot of the reasonings for why our parents want us to do certain things are based on that, mm-hmm. are based on trying to one up someone else's achievement. And that is not good. It should just be because you want your kid to be good at whatever.
Yeah, I remember I was talking to a friend and she went to Barnard for school, right? Her parents told everyone that she went to Columbia. And Barnard is, like, you know, part of Columbia. So, technically, it's not a lie. But okay. It's also, like, she goes to Barnard, you
right,
know?
Right.
But it's not, like, keep noteworthy enough.
Keep it real.
Yeah. So, it's just, like, it shows you that you can work. Because it's hard to get into either of those parts of, you know, like, any school. But it's, like, the fact that even though you're part of Columbia, but, like, in something else, your parents are still trying to, like, want, like, show off. Which has, like, a good thing. Like, they're proud of you, but are they? You
know? Exactly.
Yeah. There's, like, a weird form of, like, trying to one-up. They compare you to everyone else, but then they have to make sure everyone knows how well you're doing, even if you're not, and just add some embellishments to it, you know?
It's like there's
and
no
then you seek validation from other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. You like that one?
Like, there's no, like, individualism. It's always like, you know, my sister did this good or whatever did this good. And like, even though I'm not like, if like this is my best but this is their best, like my parents are not gonna see my best, they're gonna see X person's best,
right?
And it's like, no, like I live my own little life, like mm-hmm. I live, you know, I got my own little experiences and I got my own little journey. I should be great on my own scale, right? Feel me?
You want me to do it
anyways? What
you want to do
the
it?
Questions?
Yeah,
no, I got it. Anyway, sorry to keep y'all waiting, but we're gonna read some of y'all responses now, and there's a lot. There's
what
a
was
lot.
The question that you asked?
It was simple. I kept this simple, open ended. Yeah. When brown traditions become toxic.
Yep, that's all you had to say.
Share your thoughts. What are your thoughts?
And you had so many thoughts.
It was so many. Good God.
I had difficulties, if you guys don't know.
Yeah, follow us on Instagram and everything. I wrote down two that I really liked.
Okay.
One is kind of similar. I'll say that one next. But one that I liked is feeling the need to provide a return invite if you're invited to something. So it's like you know, like when you're invited to something, you just feel like, but like you're like, yeah, but I don't want you at
just
my
to, like,
crib.
Even it out.
I don't want you at my thing, but it's like you feel like you need to, or else
like I don't want you at my wedding, but I'm still gonna invite
exactly,
you.
Exactly.
Right. You know people like that.
Yeah.
Why do you think we're like that? It's you know what I think might be a root of it? Not probably not a root, but like a reasoning that I have.
Okay.
Like, you know when an auntie or someone makes you food and they bring it in like Tupperware and they bring it to your house and you like return the Tupperware to them like months later or whatever, but you have to put food in that Tupperware to give it back to them. Like, I remember my mom like would always say, "Oh, like I can't give this back empty," you know.
Good thinking.
Yeah, that has a good root to it.
You
right?
want to something? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt a lot of that. Yeah. A lot of that. That's a good one. Something that a lot of y'all brought up is people pleasing, but specifically with elders.
Mm.
Elders, we know about this.
We kind of talked about
the abusive elders. You know, like the ones that don't care about you, but you know, if you're not being nice to them,
honestly,
you're seen
though,
as a prick.
Honestly, though, you kind of are like that. I feel like you have a hard time standing up for yourself to elders.
Like who?
I won't get into it right now, but I think you are scared to sometimes put your foot down.
I don't agree.
Okay, well, I'm saying that there are people that like want to, you know, keep the peace in the family, and they want to just like not disrupt the ruling, you know. And then there are the people that like fully speak back and like put their foot down. And I feel like you lean more towards keeping the peace.
Yeah
So that's what I'm trying to say.
If it comes to, all right, so you tell me, would you rather so someone in your family pisses you off,
right?
Would you rather destroy the family or keep the peace?
But I'm saying that you, like, speaking up for yourself doesn't always have to destroy the family.
But no, say I have spoken up for myself and nothing has happened. So what's next? You speak up for yourself, the elder's like, Okay. What's next? You either destroy the family or you leave it alone.
I think if you spoke up for yourself and nothing has changed, then you did your part. Like, you don't have to, like, continuously go after it. But I also think it's up to you to, like, not contribute to, like, family, go to their family gatherings or, like, talk to them, like, the same or, you know, this and that.
Which I've done.
Okay.
Like, I know what you're talking about. Like, I'm not going to say on the podcast, but, like, I've done this.
Right. If you're listening, we got a vendetta against you.
Anyways, thoughts on the topic?
Oh, yeah. So the topic, we should unlearn that. I mean, we kind of see it with what's happening in Bangladesh, right? Like, a lot of people were scared to speak up against the ruler and just, like, the government in general, just, like, the higher-up people. But now we see that the student protests are the ones that are, like, passing all of these amazing things for the future generations, right? And it's just important to, like, disrupt kind of the things we've been taught. And if you believe in something right, or if you want to speak up against something that isn't really the norm in our culture, whether it be about, like, gender norms or the way you dress or whatever it is, you should feel comfortable enough to do it. Or maybe right now it's not comfortable enough, but you should speak up about it to make yourself heard until it becomes the norm, you know?
Yeah.
That's my point.
Good point.
Yeah.
Right on the money.
All right. Next one. Last one.
Last one we got is dumping trauma as an excuse for your actions.
No accountability.
You ever done this?
Yeah.
And she's not lying, I think. Maybe you know what. It's not my fault. It's just I was hungry and then I was, you know, tired. Well, I've had a long day. I forgot.
That's not trauma. That's just truth. Okay. Okay. We're just girls, you know, at the end of the day, if we're hungry or if we're tired, sometimes mood swings happen.
Yeah.
At least we're accountable for it and we speak up.
I don't know about that first.
But like if you mess up and right when the other person tries to hold you accountable and you're like, but like my dad did this when I was 2 years old, so this is why I am the way I am.
Right.
That's not okay.
That's not okay.
That's not okay.
Yeah, you know about that one.
Do I? Come on. Come on. Let's not lie on the podcast. All right. Anyway, so thank you so much for listening. Do you have an emoji of the week?
I don't have an emoji for the week. But if I did have an emoji, it would be
it's gonna be the gramophone, okay? The gramophone, because it gives a hint to next week's episode and who the guest is going to be. So make sure to comment down below the gramophone if you guys listened this far.
So
do you have any 10-second advice?
I mean, what's the hint?
I'm not gonna say the actual hint. You should know from the gramophone.
Should we just tell them, like, where's the very end of the podcast?
No.
No?
No.
Well, I said I was gonna give a hint.
That's the hint.
A gramophone?
A gramophone.
What is a gramophone?
It's the music player. You know the little like horn looking thing?
Yeah, little horn looking thing. My 10-second advice for the week would be.
My 10-second advice is to consider gua shaing your face if you want it to be more like chiseled and toned. I've been thinking about doing that more often now. I used to do it before. But, you know, sometimes from your side angle, you're not really, like, feeling it. So instead of, like, Botox or surgery or whatever it is, maybe think of some, like, Asian or, like, some holistic methods.
Nice. My advice is invest in an umbrella.
I thought you were going
to
say, like,
try to get a nicer umbrella.
I thought you were going to see an actual investment or, like, something important.
Your umbrella is probably a shitty umbrella. It's probably $6.99.
That's such a shitty piece of advice.
Get at least, like, a $20-$25 umbrella. And get the ones that, like, go in a little bit. You know, those are nice. Instead of the umbrella, you know, umbrellas are usually like this. You know, the ones that are, like, little bubbles. Like, that's a nice one. I need to get me one of those. Anyway,
yeah, so you can forget it and lose it.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this. It was so difficult. Please like the video, subscribe to the YouTube channel, rate the podcast, review the podcast, and tune in next week for our guest episode.
We love you guys.
We love you. Bye.
Allah Hafiz.
So I was on my motorcycle heading home, is going through this intersection, and this car just turns left in front of me. They said they didn't see me, obviously, and I hit them broadside, flew over the car and landed, broke my arm, busted my shoulder. It wasn't good. Luckily, I had my helmet on, but yeah, I was mad. So a buddy told me to call the Advocates. But, you know, I've always been skeptical of lawyers, right? But I called them. They were cool. They listened to me, and they were on my side for sure. They took care of everything. They're a good group of people. They helped me get what I deserved. They worked with the insurance companies. They got everything paid for. They fight for you, and they're going to go for the win.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. I totally get that bikers are independent, but when someone else causes a crash, you need a team as tough as you. Give us a call.